As a follow-up to the meeting of Pope Benedict and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, on Saturday, at which both leaders reaffirmed their desire to strengthen ecumenical relations, theologians from the two churches met this week to prepare the third phase of the Anglican Roman Catholic International Commission, or ARCIC as it's commonly called. At the one-day meeting on Monday, the group discussed possible dates, participants, and an agenda for this new round of talks, which are expected to begin sometime next autumn.
Together with a new phase of ARCIC, we will be considering how to further the reception of the ARCIC documents within the life of the Church.
Among those most closely involved in these discussions is Monsignor Mark Langham, in charge of Catholic-Anglican relations at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity.
ARCIC, as you know, is the official dialogue between the Roman Catholic Church and the Anglican Communion, which took its inspiration from the meeting of Archbishop Ramsay of Canterbury and Pope Paul VI in 1966. That meeting was reaffirmed in 1982 when the Holy Father came to England, and at Canterbury a joint declaration was made affirming the work of ARCIC, and the second phase then began. And now we're looking towards a third phase of that same dialogue, looking at deepening our relationship, at revisiting some of the issues and looking at some of the new issues that have arisen in the meantime.
What kind of issues are likely to be on the agenda at this third round of talks? Because the Archbishop of Canterbury here in Rome was suggesting some quite challenging ideas around the possible ordination of women, the exercise of papal primacy. Are these likely to show up on the agenda?
They will naturally occur within the agenda, but that's not our starting point. Our starting point will be the broader question of the relationship between the universal church and the local church. That's something that both of us are challenged by, and both of us can also investigate very fruitfully. And then within that context, we're able to look at particular issues that have arisen within the Anglican Communion in recent years, the ordination of women, the relationship of same-sex marriages to the church's discipline, the ordination of practicing homosexuals. We're able to look at those issues within the broader context. And also, there are a lot of positive things that we can say to each other about that issue.
Do you have yet a time frame when the talks may begin?
We have no fixed time frame yet, but it is our hope that within the next year, perhaps towards the end of next year, we will be able to formally to restart the third phase of ARCIC. We need to find theologians, we need to set our teams up, we need to establish where we're going to meet and the frequency of meetings. We have all these in at the planning stage, but we need to finalise those details. But it's very much our hope within the year that we will be starting the new phase.
There are critics who question the validity of these talks, saying that perhaps face-to-face meetings between the Pope and the Archbishop of Canterbury are much more important, or even grassroots work is much more important. What do you say to them?
ARCIC itself recognises that there are various levels to ecumenical encounter, at the highest level between the Holy Father and the Archbishop of Canterbury, at local level, at parish level, wonderful encounters take place, and they have benefited from the work of commissions like ARCIC, where theologians speak together. The work of theologians dialoguing, addressing some of the most critical issues in relationship between our churches is essential, but we do realise it's not the whole story, and ARCIC itself recommends that other elements take place. The IARCM, the international meeting between bishops of Roman Catholic Church and Anglican Communion, is perhaps looking at a wider range of encounters, how we can meet at parish level, how leadership can help in receiving these agreements, how we can, as Roman Catholics and Anglicans, work together at all sorts of levels. So ARCIC takes place within a much wider framework, but its work is essential. The theological engagement between the two communions is an essential part of that broader picture.
Thank you. Monsignor Mark Langham is in charge of the Catholic Church's relations with Anglicans and Methodists at the Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity. Meanwhile, one of the most significant Catholic promoters of the ecumenical movement throughout the past century, Cardinal Johannes Willebrands, was honoured at a conference here in Rome last week at the Gregorian University. Among the speakers at the one-day colloquium last Thursday was the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams, and the current president of the Pontifical Council for Christian Unity, Cardinal Walter Kasper. A key figure at the Second Vatican Council and one of the first to encourage the Catholic Church is opening to other Christian traditions, Willebrands died in 2006 at the age of 96, at that time the oldest member of the College of Cardinals. Archbishop of Utrecht from 1975 to 83, he's best remembered as a skilled diplomat with a sharp sense of humour who pioneered closer contacts with the Orthodox and Protestant worlds.
It was not easy at all. Willebrands personally had to work very hard to try to convince bishops that this was a very important thing to do.
Capuchin Father William Hen was another of the speakers at the one-day colloquium. I asked him more about the Dutch cardinal's legacy to the ecumenical movement, in particular his close contacts with the Geneva-based World Council of Churches.
Well, I would say that precisely because of his personal relations and interest in the work of the World Council, he was able at an initial stage to clear up misunderstandings, to begin to establish in an informal way contacts, and that was absolutely necessary to reach then the point of more formal institutional contacts between the Vatican and the World Council. For Willebrands, the World Council was an effect of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Church, and he felt it was extremely important for the Roman Catholic Church to be in collaboration and, well, he used the word fraternal solidarity with the World Council.
This was a view that wasn't necessarily very popular in Rome to begin with, was it? You talk about his work as a conversion of the Catholic Church itself towards this ecumenical dialogue.
Well, that's quite true. I'm not sure if he came up with the idea of conversion, but some others, like, for example, Congar, would say that at Vatican II there was, you could almost see kind of a movement toward ecumenism by the many bishops. But right, well, the ecumenism had some intrinsic kind of dangers, I'd say, for the Catholic Church. There was the fear that that perhaps it would mean a kind of a relativism, that all churches are equal. And the popes and the leaders in the Vatican felt that we really, and we still feel that, we needed to avoid that. So how do you enter into full collaboration with and kind of avoid what could be dangers? That was the problem. And I think he was one who, by his personal relationships, his wisdom, was able to help the church resolve those issues.
We think of the cardinal as a pioneer in this ecumenical work between the different Christian churches. We've also been hearing about him as a pioneer of the relationship between Christians and Jews, a new relationship between Christians and Jews.
No, that's true. And I'd say his experiences, I believe, during the Second World War, when his country was occupied and over 100,000 Jews were put to death, was a formative experience for him. I think his collaboration with Cardinal Bea was very significant here. Bea was intensely interested in the Catholic Church saying something to really recognize our kinship with the Jewish people and the relation between Christianity and Judaism. So I'd say together they worked very hard, and it was a difficult task in a way, I think, because of the Catholic Church is so big, and so in different parts of the world you have to be attentive to how something is going to be received. And that was really the great difficulty with the declaration with regard to the other religions, and including Judaism. But yes, it was a very important step forward, and it was not easy at all. Willebrands personally had to work very hard to try to convince bishops that this was a very important thing to do, to be positive, have a positive statement about the Jews.
Thanks there to Capuchin Father William Hen, a professor at the Gregorian University.